Good morning. Welcome to the Garden Hour. Hour number two of the Rosie on the House show this absolutely wonderful Arizona Saturday morning. We've been an Arizona listening tradition for 27 years. Consider us your weekend wake-up call. Here with Romy, master of the garden. You sure grow a lot more than I do successfully, that's for sure.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you to join us in the Garden Hour. We have a wonderful lineup for you today. We have John J. Harper of Harper's Nursery here with us, third generation Arizona nurseryman, along with Julie Murphy of the Arizona Farm Bureau, talking it is watermelon and sweet corn time in Arizona. So we'll bring those to you. And again, to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. Mr. Harper, where are we starting today?
Well, let's start with the fact that in 1987, we had a trace of rain. That was the record rainfall for June the 5th.
A trace.
It could have been a bird flying over the head. Yeah, who knows if it was even rain, right? Yeah. So we, as you mentioned, it's the first measurable rainfall to ever fall on that date since record keeping began. I went back 5 years because that's all it would let me in June. The whole month of June, the last 5 years, there was not any measurable rain. There was one day in 2010 that had a trace. The whole month of June, every day, we have had no measurable rain until this year, so the last 5 years. So we're bound to set. I don't care how hot it gets. The second half of the month, as cool as it's been, it's going to go down as one of the coolest Junes on record, no doubt. So all that being said, if you didn't get some garden chores done, this could well be. And I'm looking at the weather forecast for the middle of next week. Rain forecast for 3 days for the middle of next week and in the 90s. So this would be the time. And this is actually a really good time to do a number of things in the garden and in the lawn. You can still be planting some of the really warm, heat-loving vegetables like melons, like squashes, Malabar spinach, okra, eggplant, those things. You could still be planting those, especially this year. Make sure you're keeping your garden well fertilized. It is producing, setting fruit. All of those things take a lot of energy. We'll have people now starting to notice some yellowing of foliage inside, deep in the plant, down towards the bottom of the plant. That's indicating that plant needs more nitrogen, more nutrients. So make sure you're fertilizing that garden regularly as it's producing. Still time to fertilize citrus. Fertilizing those greening up summer lawns, those Bermuda grass lawns that are coming out of dormancy slowly this year, but they need fertilized.
I'm glad you said that because I keep looking at mine thinking, man, am I doing something wrong?
I know. it just hasn't been warm enough to really get them cranking, especially the nighttime lows that we've had are still down there in the 60s and low 70s.
So. And I've had my fertilizer just waiting to apply it, waiting to see some kind of sign that it's growing, because I did the dethatching and I did the aerating for the first time this year, so it was beat up pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not just going to throw fertilizer on a bunch of open dirt.
Yeah, and so, you know, as soon as it starts, which it should, after this rain especially, you should be starting to see some new shoots, some new growth leaves coming out on those dormancy lawns. So make sure they get fertilized, and they should be fertilized monthly now through the growing season. So fertilizing, of course, with the rain comes weeds. We need to watch for weeds. We've had, you know, a pretty abundant insect crop on things this year. So with the moisture and the mild winter and the cooler than normal early summer, late spring, early summer, be watching on, especially on those vegetables, those tender things, you know, things, the little critters that might be chewing and sucking on those. So there's a lot to do and a lot going on. And, of course, it's never the wrong time to plant a shade tree, something for shade.
You know, John, one of my favorite websites in the whole planet is just a little website called rain.log.
Oh.
And it's rain stations located all over the state of Arizona.
Okay.
And in Maricopa County, there are many of those rain stations reporting over 6 inches year to date.
Year to date.
Year to date.
I had four tents at my house, just unofficially, just a little plastic rain gauge, in this last storm. So, and I think I had 2 inches in May.
Yeah, here we are, so, not even into the monsoon season yet, and we're like three quarters and almost a year's worth. So this could be good. If we have any kind of monsoon at all, it's going to help.
We were in the White Mountains Memorial Day weekend, and from Payson north, it looks like August.
Oh, man.
It's just, you know, it's just green.
Beautiful. Yeah. Nice, nice. Peculiar year this year, but we'll take it.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. And as we before we get to our first call, let's bring Julie Murphy from the Arizona Farm Bureau into the conversation. And thank you for these wonderful ears of sweet corn.
My pleasure. And we can give Mark Freeman from Freeman's Corn Patch all the credit for that. He provided them, sent me home with 2 dozen yesterday. So, and he's right.
And how many did you eat last night?
I'm not going to confess. Have to watch my weight, but no. A lot of good sweet corn.
We learned a little trick from my son-in-law, actually, on cooking sweet corn. He just peels back the hull, yanks out the silk, keeps the hull on, puts it back in, butters it up, puts it on the grill for about 15, 20 minutes. I mean, it's like eating candy.
I love that.
I don't even shuck it before I put it on the grill. I leave it on there with the silk.
Just the whole everything, yeah. Huh? Oh, how do you get the butter in there? I like putting the butter in there.
Well, I will have to try that, buttering it before on the grill. But I'd take the shuck off and then butter it while it's still burning hot.
You know, Mark's sweet corn, you don't even need to cook it.
Really?
This stuff you can eat right now, it's awesome.
All right. Well, we got our 9:30 energy snack waiting for us right here.
That's right.
And the sweet corn, how big of a crop is that for Arizona?
You know, it's significant. It's not counted in the top 16 to 20 commodity crops, but it's significant, especially starting in late May. And it actually goes all the way through September. Most people don't realize that because there's different, it shifts to the north and the south when it warms up in the summer. In Maricopa County, it'll probably go strong through the first part of July.
And it's probably a great season for dentists as well, you know, putting in dentures,
yes.
Replacing molars.
It's good stuff, and I encourage everybody to eat it daily because we grow it well here in Arizona.
As well as watermelon. There, and this fact sheet you sent me on watermelon, this seems like the miracle fruit.
It is. And, you know, speaking of diets, if you're trying to control your weight, watermelon is the perfect food to include in your diet. 1 cup of watermelon has only 40 calories, and it's per calorie, very high nutritiously.
And I love the history behind it, where it starts that the seeds were first in Egypt, and they actually found watermelon seeds in the Pharaoh's tomb. I mean, talk about the value of something to be buried with a watermelon seed.
It's an ancient crop, and we grow it well here. In fact, Arizona and California are the top producing states of watermelon.
And it's grown in Maricopa, Yuma, La Paz, Cochise, and Pinal counties. Usually planted in January. When's the first? How long does that crop take?
I think they're beginning to harvest in the spring, but certainly heavy duty in the summer months, part of the summer.
We'll get to all of the health benefits and fancy medical names that are in the watermelon. But first, we're going to start in Glendale with John. We were talking struggling lawns. He's one of those. Welcome to the program, John.
Good morning. A couple weeks ago, I called in, and Jennifer gave me some information about how to get rid of spurge. So now I have large 100-square-foot areas, 50-square-foot areas in my yard where there's no grass because it's too cold for Bermuda, and there's no rye. So what can I plant now to cover up all those spots this time of year?
Well, what kind of Bermuda do you have?
You know, I don't know the brand. The house has been here 50 years. It's whatever was there.
Okay, well, if it's just common Bermuda, you can reseed those areas.
You can seed now?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah, it's warm. I mean, by and large, we're warm enough now for the seed to germinate.
Okay.
Some of the lawns are a little slow coming out of dormancy, but that's mostly the lawns that have had the winter rye in them because the rye just won't let go. It's so cool.
Right.
But, yeah, you could go ahead and seed those areas, or if it's a hybrid Bermuda, you know, you could you know, clean the areas up and actually lay some new sod.
No, this house was built in 45, and I think the yard's been there since then. And I get irrigation, flood irrigation.
Right.
So also whatever comes in through the irrigation kind of is growing.
Good old common Bermuda grass seeded now in those areas. Cover it with a light coating of mulch or compost to keep it moist. Water it three or four times a day lightly, and you'll have it in about 30 days. You should be mowing.
And he's on irrigation. I mean, you just get a hose with one of those rotating sprinkler heads will be fine.
Yeah. You can't, you know, go obviously the 2 weeks. You know, it's a three or four time a day to keep it moist thing every day till it comes up and you've mowed it the first time. So he'll have to hand water the areas that he's reseeding for sure.
Hey, just to clarify, he gave me credit for that answer, but I did ask Jay before I gave him the answer. I don't ever assume I know a landscape question. But thanks for the John for the for the credit.
As long as he gets it right, we don't care.
We appreciate the call. And we also had another. This is Freeman's Corn, correct? I have that name correct?
You do.
Freeman. We had Bob from Grandma's Farm. Are y'all familiar with them on 19th Avenue?
Yes.
Today's their first day. They just called in to let us know they are selling sweet corn as well as squash, okra. That's early on okra.
Yeah, that's pretty
early. I usually don't even plant okra till July and melons. So there's you can also go to fillyourplate.org and find a listing of farmers markets across the entire state.
Correct. In fact, that's one of the easiest way because then you can kind of determine where you want to go based on where you're located. One of our more recent online farms in terms of providing summer produce is Fury Farms in Buckeye, for example. But we've got different, you know, you-pick farms all over the state, and everyone's got sweet corn.
And if you were doing the, you know, really going local and really going straight to the source, depending on the time of year, you could just drive to a different elevation and stock up because, you know, it might not – sweet corn will come later.
Right.
In the August, cooler, up in the Dewey area.
Right, Dewey area. And then you can go south. You can go to Cochise County. Or, Romy, you can become the backyard farmer like you are and start growing some of your own, too.